This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 32. If Tom had been left alone with the cry of humanity in his head, he might have gone mad. In fact, he thought he may have already done so. He almost vomited when it happened, and it took all his strength not to scream for help of his own. But who would help him? Catriona and her father had their problems too. No, Tom had to face his demons alone. He had been so focused on trying to find out who he was and how he was connected to Cregan's past that the boy stumbled from one discovery to another with little control over what happened and when. The vision on the boat and his first sighting of Kathleen happened with no obvious input from him. But the seance, his search for the hidden ramp, the pendant, the strange and realistic map of the cavern in his head, all of these were linked to actions he'd initiated. Even the horrific screams had been triggered, it seems, by the journal he'd been reading. He may be mad, but the cave and the chairs and the pendant were real. The journal and the books, puzzle pieces clicking clean and crisp with each new insight. He refused to run. The problem was part of him, and running would surely be for life. He would grasp the challenge tight to his chest and charge. He closed his eyes and recalled the faces and their cries for help. There was nothing special about the people he'd seen. Men, women and children of every age and race howled in anguish. All of them looking his way. All of them. Billions, it seems. Somehow able to occupy the tiny space in his head and yet still maintain an impression of individuality. It had all happened so fast that Tom could not fathom this contradiction. A conglomerate of lonely souls. He could remember no more than four glimpsed faces now. A girl, roughly 14 years old, her hair dyed yellow, her bright white top incongruously set against the twisted skin of her face. Her expression distorting otherwise model good looks. A man, white-haired but fit in body, now withered and bent, his head turned towards Tom from a kneeling position, pleading for death. A young boy, about 5, his face aged by pain, tears and snot surrounding the large cavern of his mouth as he bawled in agony. And finally, a black woman, young, brilliant white teeth made for smiling, now gritted between stretched and parched lips as her eyes flared red with agony, and she too joined the chorus pleading for Tom's help, for Tom to help them to die. He paraded them, one after the other, before his inner eye. Doing so, he felt their desperation. He tried to see beyond, to their surroundings, but could not. In his mind, they were a populace of individuals, but there were so many of them that no place on earth could hold them in anything but large groups. Could this be no more than a hellish nightmare, a place where sense and nonsense slept like mismatched lovers? Tom possessed a strange ability to channel things, abnormal things, through his mind. This he accepted. That did not mean, though, that he did not experience normal things. He ate, breathed, walked and talked like everyone else. Why not nightmares? The thought was vaguely comforting. He was saved from his own courage by another scream, this time from the patient and his daughter next door. Tom jumped to his feet and bolted to their aid. Running into the room, he found Catriona wrapping her arms around her father's shoulders, fighting to keep her grip as he thrashed from side to side. As Tom took in the scene, the man suddenly sat up and his legs swung over the side of the bed. The boy instinctively dived for them, wincing at the thought of the giant's bulk bearing down on the bloated and black limb. Callum's eyes were bloodshot, staring wherever his head pointed. Despite the man's strength, Tom managed to pin his feet to the bed as Catriona shushed him as though he were a massive, teething baby. By the time his seizure ended, Tom was in no doubt what had to be done, and for once, he and the girl agreed. Leaving her father's side for no more than 2 minutes, Catriona reminded Tom to follow the path without deviating. It was still dark, but Dawn was on its way. She tipped out a small sack, stuffed the torch in his hand, her own waterproof jacket inside the sack, and opened the door as if he had been an unwelcome guest at an overlong party.
"It's only around 5 miles. The weather looks good. Even with the hill, you should be there in 2, maybe 3 hours.
She glanced behind her, anxious to get back to her father. Tom half smiled and turned to go. The light sack slung casually over his left shoulder. Katriana swung the door closed and then paused. They had been moving so fast since the decision was made that this 2-second interlude seemed like the still calm of a painted dream. In that beat, their eyes met, their half-formed smiles locked, and then finally, and slowly, the door closed between them. Tom stood looking at the darkened green wood, blinked away the feelings of dread and loss, turned on his heels, and sprinted towards the path. A faint and light blue wash tinged the ruffled hills across the sea. With the light of the cottage gone, Tom could see enough to move steadily along the path without the torch. Once moving, the surge of adrenaline flooding his system gave him a rush of energy that pushed back the utter exhaustion that should have closed him down. The half-slung sack, now squarely in its proper place over both shoulders, he pummeled hard with one leg and then another, storming up the initial steep climb as though pursued by relentless hunters. Slowing briefly to look at the ruin passing to his left and the rocks hiding the cave, he renewed his climb with perfect rhythm. Sweat on his back, he drove the path as it swung right and levelled out, cutting at an angle along the hill. Below and to his right, the far undulating horizon turned a light pink, and a gentle breeze blew over the water and up the slope. It cooled his face as he watched the land slip slowly beneath them. First the cottage, and then the enormous boulders with their miniature caves and hidden graves. And then the sloping greenery disappeared over what he assumed was the birthing cliff for his present life. In another time, he would have scouted the area to look for a clue of how he got there, but that seemed unimportant now. It was almost light by the time the path rounded over the dip between the hill he was on and the next. The pink line had now stained the underside of high clouds and the sky became a beautiful roof of spectacular red light. Curving over the saddle, the path started its slow descent into the glen. To his left, and still in shadow, a grey tarmac road roped along the bottom of the hill opposite. A bright yellow car pushed its headlights and its driver towards an unknown day. Running beside a stream, the path disappeared to mud and then the mud disappeared to path. He slithered and stumbled and ran, and as the scorched sky blued and brightened, he saw a tiny gathering of houses and then another. He saw the road again, back from an excursion hidden by trees, bright grey now, zooming through the green fields as the glen widened towards the sea. He was in another world, a world of people, of transport, of comfort and help. Stopping for nothing, he pumped his arms and continued down the hill and entered the village of Lochranza.
DreamWorks.com.